the state of our prayer lives reveals so much about the condition of our faith, and it reveals the intimacy that we have or maybe don't quite have yet with the Lord. We talked about intimacy last week. We were created again for intimacy with God. He created us for relationship. He didn't create us to go do a bunch of works, although that is part of being in a relationship with somebody. How many of you know that when you're in a relationship with somebody, you serve them, you care for them? We were created for relationship, for intimacy with God, though. That's the first and foremost. We got to remember that. And our prayer life can reveal where we are in that process of developing that intimate relationship with the Lord. If we find ourselves far from the place of prayer, if prayer is not an always thing in our lives, like the Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If prayer isn't playing a prominent place in our lives, then our faith and our intimacy with the Lord is weakened. And our lives are robbed of experiencing all that God has for us. That's just a fact. This morning, as we continue our summer of stories, as we're going through many of the parables of Jesus this summer, we're going to be talking about the importance of cultivating our prayer lives. The title of today's sermon is Don't Give Up. Let me say that again. The title of today's sermon is Don't Give Up. And our parable this week comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And this parable is commonly referred to as the parable of the persistent widow. So I'd like for you to get your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. God's word says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "and Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart." Jesus said that in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, because, you know, I'm so all that, I'm so important, and why would I fear or respect anybody else? Because, I mean, I'm a big thing." I'm paraphrasing. Somebody's still looking. Where is that? Where is that? I don't see that. So this judge says, for a while he's saying to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nonetheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Sometimes in Jesus' parables, we have to dig deep to get the understanding. Really, what is Jesus saying? I mean, we got to peel that onion way back to get to the real message. But in this particular parable, the message is very clear, and it's stated very clearly in verse 1. Look again. Jesus is clearly encouraging us in this parable to always pray and to not lose heart. That's what it says. It says, always to pray and not to lose heart. And if you look that up in the Greek, you're going to find that that means that we're to always pray and not lose heart. Jesus is telling us to never give up on God. That's the message of this parable. Never give up. Don't give up on God, but keep pressing in and keep trusting Him. Jesus is using this picture of this widow who is seeking justice from an unjust judge to send the message that if we don't quit, if we don't bail on God, we will win. If we stay in the game, we will win. Many of you know that I'm a basketball coach. That's something I love to do. I learned everything I know from Jeff Andreessen, our guitar player this week. Jeff, thank you so much. I still don't know as much as he does but about basketball, but I have learned a lot from him. And in basketball, there are so many games that we have won because we didn't quit. I think I told you about the one a couple years ago over in California. We were down by like 10 points with a couple minutes left. And I told the guys we could either quit, call it a game, or we can go out there and play to still win. And within 2 minutes, we turned it all around and we won the game. And then we went on to the next game and we won the championship in the California tournament. We didn't quit. And as a result, we won. It's a nice thing, isn't it? That's the message that Jesus is telling us. If we don't quit on God, if we don't quit praying, but keep coming to Him, we will win. We will see God move. We will have the victory if we keep coming to Him and keep trusting Him. But I got some questions. One of them is this. Have you ever spent time praying and praying and praying and praying for something, but it never seems to happen? Yeah? Every head's bobbing up and down. Oh, yeah. Do you ever feel like God is silent or maybe He can't hear you? I mean, have you ever said to yourself or to God or to somebody else, God, I just don't even think You hear me. I don't know. Have you ever felt like giving up on prayer because you're just not seeing any answers? I thought it was always interesting when we have our prophetic time and Chris Benepinto came forward and gave a word and talked about this very thing. She started preaching my message. I'm not going to cut it short. I'm going to keep going. But have we ever found ourselves in that position where we've prayed and we just don't feel like God's hearing us? Or if He is hearing us, that maybe He just doesn't want to answer our prayers. If you felt that, you're not alone. You're not. We've all had times where we thought that our prayers didn't matter. God, what's happening? Why aren't You answering? Nothing's changing. But maybe God is hearing us. Maybe God is hearing us. And maybe God does care. And maybe God is moving on our behalf. And I'm here to tell you that He does hear us. It's not a maybe. And He does care for His children. And He is moving on our behalf for our good. Because He's a loving, good Heavenly Father. Jesus reminds us in this parable that we can't write God off simply because things aren't happening when we think they should happen and how we think they should happen. And we can't assume that a delay is a no. Just because the answer or what we're wanting to see isn't happening yet doesn't mean that God has said, no way, Jose. No. We can't assume that a delay is a no. Jesus is telling us that our role is not to judge God. Our role is not to judge Him based on what we're perceiving, what we're perceiving the outcome is or isn't. That's not our role. Our role in our intimate relationship that we're building with our Lord is to never give up, to keep praying and keep trusting Him because He's God and He's good. I greatly appreciated Robin Furmanek's testimony last week. It was impactful. Again, she said that she spent 20 years of her life petitioning the Lord on behalf of her dad. The breakthrough wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. 20 years of crying out to God for her dad, for breakthrough in his life. 20 years later, this year, breakthrough happens. Breakthrough happens. The answers start to come. She starts to see what God has been doing. What would have happened if Robin would have given up after one prayer for her dad? What would have happened if she said, look, I prayed for a whole hour for him. If God can't do it based on that, then he's not God. What if that would have been a response? What if she would have stopped praying for her dad after a week, a month, a year, 10 years later? What if she would have just packed it up and said, that's it? If he hasn't moved by now, then it's not going to happen. But she didn't do that. She kept petitioning the Lord. She kept coming after God on behalf of her earthly father. And 20 years later, God breaks through. God is a God of breakthrough. How many of you know that? If you know Christ, if you're in Christ Jesus right now, you've got to know that. That God is a God of breakthrough. If you're in Jesus Christ, you know that there's been breakthrough in your own life. God is a God. He is the God of breakthrough. God is the God of justice. He is the God of the impossible. He is the God who heals. How many of you have been healed by the Lord? How many of you have experienced physical healing by God? That you know that it was God who touched you and healed you. Raise your hand again, high up. He is the God who heals. Jimmy just testified of that earlier in the service. He is the God who works all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And He moves in His perfect timing and in His perfect way. God's ways are best. They're perfect. And as we're waiting for Him to move in His perfect way and in His perfect time, we are called to never give up. We're called to keep coming to Him with our needs, just like Robin did for 20 years. For her dad. And then the breakthrough came. This is the message of Jesus' parable. Pray and never give up. So are you feeling lonely in your life? If you are, if that's where you are in life right now, you need to take it to God. You need to take it to Him today. You need to take that to Him tomorrow and the next day and the next day and keep coming to Him with that need. Are you feeling attacked? Maybe people are attacking you. Maybe just the enemy. Maybe just some kind of attack in your life. If you're feeling attacked, take it to God and keep taking it to God and don't give up. You will have the victory. You do have the victory in Christ Jesus. Do you feel confused or anxious or fearful right now in your life? Is anxiety, you know, driving you crazy? If it is, take it to God. Take it to Him. And keep taking it to Him. And don't accept that that is just how it's going to be. Keep taking it to God. Do you feel sick? Do you need healing? Take it to God. Do you have a loved one that's far from God? Take it to Him. Lift up your loved one, just like Robin did with her dad. Do you want to know God more? Do you want to hear His voice clearer? Do you want to feel His presence in your life? Do you want to walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Go to God with those desires and keep going to Him and keep going to Him. And He will not disappoint you, but don't give up on Him. Don't give up. He has so much for us. But often we do have to be like that persistent widow, and we need to persist and keep coming to Him. And trusting Him. Never give up on God. Look, if an unjust judge will heed a poor widow's persistent plea, how much more will a just, righteous, perfect, heavenly Father respond to His children's needs and desires? I mean, come on. This is part of what Jesus is showing us in this parable. This is an unjust judge. He doesn't fear God. He doesn't fear man. He doesn't give a hoot about anybody but himself. Yet, finally, even this unjust judge responds to this poor widow's plea. How much more will our Heavenly Father respond to us as we never give up on Him? We can never give up on God. We need to go to Him in prayer. And while waiting can be very hard, and I know it can be, waiting can be extremely hard. And the enemy can get in there and try to do all kinds of things as we're trusting God, as we're waiting on Him, as we're persisting in prayer, as we're continuing to live for Him, even when everything around us is just piling it on. It can be hard. I know it can be hard. I've been praying for decades for my grandfather. He's 95 years old. I've been praying for his salvation. I've been crying out to God. My family's been crying out to God. You ought to hear my son Ben praying for his great-grandfather. He's 95 years old. The temptation, the fleshly temptation, is to just say, well, can't teach an old dog new tricks. Just the way it's going to be. He keeps, you know, he's continued to reject God. But that's not an option. Is that an option? To just give up on my grandfather? No, it's not an option. Is it an option to give up on God and say, God, you're not big enough? No, it's not an option. In fact, I just got a call as I was driving into the parking lot this morning. My mom called me and she said that my grandfather fell early in the morning. And he fell in his kitchen and he broke his hip. A bad break. He's 95 years old. He's going to be going into surgery any time now. I can react in many ways to that. I can go, oh man, it's too late. Or I can look at it and I can go, God, you're going to use this. I just know it. And I'm going to ask you to use this. And so that's exactly what I did on the phone with my mom. As I cried out to God and I said, God, this can be the day of salvation for my grandfather. This can be the day of salvation. This can be exactly what is needed for this man to finally surrender his life to you and to know you are his Lord and his Savior. This can be the day. And so that's my hope today. I'm not going to walk in fear. And I'm not going to give up on God today for my grandfather. I'm going to walk in faith, believing that this can be the day. And I say this will be the day of his salvation. So if you would just, would you pray with me right now? I want to pray for him as he's going through this. Lord, I lift up my grandfather, granddaddy, Lord. I lift up Emerson to you. And Lord, I ask and I continue to ask and I continue to come to you. And I do right now, God, and I say, let this be the day of salvation for my grandfather. That this will be the day, God. I plead with you, I cry out, Lord, that this will be the day. Jesus, you spilled your blood for that man. You love him. You desire him to know you and to be saved and to spend eternity with you. So I come into agreement with your will on this, God, and I say yes and amen. Do it, God. Let this be the day. And let him see you today. Let him know you today. And let today be the day of salvation in his life. In Jesus, your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. It can be hard to wait. But it's always worth it. And did you know that pressing on, while it's hard, that it can also come with benefits? As we are people who are persistent, as we persist in prayer, as we never give up on God and keep trusting Him through all things, that there are benefits even in that process of persistence. I want to talk about three of them very quickly here. The first thing that happens when we find ourselves persisting in prayer and not giving up on God is that it fosters humility in us. I think it was amazing, again, how that word was brought forward this morning on humility. Velvet, you talked about it initially from Isaiah. Humility. When we persist, when we keep pressing on, when we keep going to God, even when it doesn't look like anything's changing or anything else is happening, but when we continue to walk in that persistence, trusting Him, it fosters humility. It fosters dependency on God in our lives. And what comes out of humility? We heard it earlier today. The victory. When we humble ourselves, what happens? He will lift us up. And so prayer is a form of humility. What do we do in prayer? We come before God and we say, God, we need your help because we can't do this. We can't fix this. I can't save my grandfather. I can't fix his hip. I can't fix my relationship. I can't heal my back. I can't do that. God, I'm coming to you. I am unable. And what do we often do in prayer? We get on our knees. What is that representing? That's representing humility. It's bowing ourselves before God and humbling ourselves before Him and saying, God, help. That's a good place to be. God uses that process of waiting. He uses that process of persisting and continuing to come after Him. He uses that whole process in our lives to develop us and to build us up and to do amazing things. And what does it say in God's Word happens? James 4, verse 10. What does it say God does to those who humble themselves before Him? He lifts them up. There are so many benefits to keeping on with God, to persisting in prayer. First one that I wanted to bring up this morning is it fosters humility, which leads to victory. The second benefit that we get as we continue with God, as we persist in prayer, is it renews our strength. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. God is so good the way He weaves things together. The Holy Spirit is incredible how he has a word for us this morning, folks. He has a word for us. Persisting in prayer renews our strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait on the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord. In other words, those who don't give up. Those who keep coming to God. Those who rest in Him and have confidence in Him and don't give up on Him. Those who wait for the Lord shall, not might, but shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. The benefits of waiting on God, the benefits of trusting God, the benefits of not running away from Him, but getting on our knees and persisting and keep coming to Him even when it doesn't seem like anything is changing. He will renew our strength when that's our posture with Him. Do you want your strength renewed today? Then go to God. Persist in prayer. Persist in the things that He's called you to do for the kingdom. Too often the enemy tries to rob us of these benefits of our renewed strength. And it's so silly how he works. We'll get tired, we'll feel tired, we'll feel beat up, right? How many of you have been there? I'm not going to ask how many of you are there right now, but you know who you are. We've all been there where we just feel tired and beat up. And you know what our flesh and what the enemy says to do at that point? You need you time. You need just to chill out. You need a vacation. You need to focus on yourself. And it gets crazy. And we get ourselves in a tough position. Where we need to be is we need to press into the Lord. We need to not focus on ourselves. We need to focus on God. We need to go to God in prayer. We need to persist in Him because as we go to Him, we're going to humble ourselves. He'll lift us up. As we go to Him, He will renew our strength. And He'll cause us to mount up with wings as eagles and soar again above all of the junk that just got us down. We need to go to God. We need to be people of prayer and pressing into Him when things are rough and when our strength is feeling zapped. The third thing I want to mention, the third benefit, and there are several others, but I'm only hitting three this morning. The third benefit that we find as we persist in prayer is it develops intimacy. We talked about that a little bit last week. Prayer develops intimacy. Time with God develops intimacy. Intimacy is a gift. How many of you know that? Yeah. And we can get more of that gift. And we get it by spending time with God. There's really no other way. Spending time with Him is how we develop intimacy. And the place of prayer is a place where we spend time with Him. The place of prayer isn't just a place where we talk to God or tell God what we want, what we need. It's the place where we sit before Him. And we communicate. And it's two-way. He wants to hear from us. We want to hear from Him. So we sit with Him. We talk with Him. We listen to Him. We read His Word. We allow it to speak to us, to transform our thinking, to lift us up. We allow the Holy Spirit to move, to have His way with us. That place of prayer develops intimacy. I want to close with just some important truths. And then we're going to have a time of communion. These truths that we're going to talk about here should build our confidence in the place of prayer and should provoke us to go to prayer today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. Go back to Luke 18, back to the parable, verse 1. When you look at that parable, you're going to see that the widow was approaching an unjust judge. But we, in the place of prayer, are approaching a righteous Father who loves us. There's more. The widow had to plead her own case. There wasn't anybody who was helping her with her situation. She had to plead her own case. But we have an advocate who goes to the Father on our behalf. It's Jesus Christ. We can read about that in Romans 8:34. John talks about it in his first letter, 1 John chapter 2, that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who goes to the Father on our behalf. So even in the place of prayer, you don't go to prayer feeling this pressure that it's based on what you say and how you say it and la-di-da-di-da, and then that's going to make God move. No. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. It's just about relationship. That's the place of prayer. It's coming before Him where we can communicate and grow our intimacy with Him. And in that, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who goes to the Father and pleads our case on our behalf. That's amazing. That's just how good God is. The widow had no assurance of an answer. But our Heavenly Father has given us a promise. If you look again at verse 8, He's given us a promise that we will have an answer. He will give justice to us, His people. We have an assurance. The widow's access to the judge was limited. She could only reach Him at certain times. Sometimes she had to yell, you know, from across the yard to Him, "Give me justice! Give me justice!" However, our access to our Heavenly Father is unlimited. We can go to Him at any time. In fact, we're encouraged, again, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, to always go to Him and never stop going to Him. Another amazing truth that we see in this parable is that the widow's persistent asking provoked the judge. That's what it said, that her continuing to come to Him bothered Him and provoked Him into finally, I'll give you justice. But our approaching our Heavenly Father with our needs and our desires and our hearts delights Him. It doesn't provoke Him. It actually delights Him. He delights to hear from us. He delights to know our hearts. He delights to commune with us and to spend time with us. He delights in that. These things are amazing. Jesus is saying, even in this scenario, with all of these things going against this poor widow, still she got justice. How much more, he is saying in this parable, through this parable, how much more can you expect amazing things from your Heavenly Father? It's just incredible. How many of you remember our little saying, the roots of an evident life go deep? And deep stands for discipleship, evangelism, encountering the presence of God, and prayer. Prayer. Prayer is so important in our lives. It's not optional. It causes our roots to go deep with the Lord. It's hard to pull up a tree with deep roots. If a tree has shallow roots, man, it's easy to pull that tree up. It's hard to pull up a life. It's hard to cause a life to be thrown on the rocks when that person's life is rooted deep in the place of prayer, rooted deep in the place of God's Word, rooted deep in the Lord. It's hard. So we've got to be people of prayer. And in fact, it's already been mentioned this morning that on August 2nd, that's this Friday, we're going to be taking the prayer torch and we're going to be doing 1 week of 24/7 prayer. 1 week of 24/7 prayer. It's an incredible opportunity for you to take this message, this parable of Jesus, take this understanding and make it real in your life and decide, you know what? I'm ready for my roots to go deeper. I'm ready to persist. I'm ready to re-engage in that area of my life that I've just given up on. That family member that I gave up on, that relationship I've given up on, that healing I've given up on, whatever it might be, I'm ready to re-engage with God. I want to tell this story very quickly. In my backyard, I had a sprinkler head right in the middle of the yard that broke. And you're laughing, Sean. Sean's been over. He's fixed another one of my irrigation sprinkler problems in the past. But this thing blew, and I can do a lot of things, but the Lord has not gifted me with the grace of sprinkler systems. I just really have a problem with those. And so this thing blew, and all that was going through my head was, this is going to take me a long time. Am I going to be able to figure it out? It's going to probably cost a lot of money. It probably, even once I get that new head on there, it won't work right. And all these thoughts went through my head. So you know what I did? No, I did nothing. I should have called. I did nothing. And over the course of a few weeks, what began to happen to my green grass? It got brown. What happened after it got brown? I had a dry, bald dirt spot, several of them in the middle of my yard. Finally, one day I woke up. It was a Saturday morning. I said, enough is enough. I'm just going to go for it. I've got all day. I have nothing going on today. And I went down. I got a sprinkler head. I went to my backyard. And within 30 minutes, I had a new sprinkler head on that thing. I turned on the water, and it worked perfectly. A week after I fixed that sprinkler head, and I started applying some, you know, additional water to it, guess what happened? I mean, these were totally bald spots. Dry dirt, cracking. I mean, the cracks were an inch thick, an inch wide in my ground there because they were getting no water for a month. Guess what happened within 1 week? Life. 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 Green grass. Right now, you can't tell that I had a problem, and that was only 2 weeks ago. Within 1 week, the grass was coming back. Within 2 weeks, you can't tell that I ever had that issue. My point is this. If there are things in your life that you've given up on, that you thought are just never going to happen and that are dead, and that you didn't persist with God in the place of prayer, you can go back right now and you can put that new sprinkler head on and you can begin adding water again to that. You can go back to that place of persistence with God, believing God for those impossible things and keep going and keep going and keep praying and keep praying and persisting, and you will see the green come back. You'll see the life come back. God will do it in your life, just like He did for my poor little backyard. If He'll do it for my backyard, how much more for you? I'd like to do this at this time. like to ask the band to come up and just play quietly. I'd like to ask the gentleman to begin to hand out the elements for communion. What I would like for us to do is I want us to go to God. And I want us to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken in our hearts and in our minds those things in our life that we need to be taking to Him, that we need to be persisting with. I would imagine every person in this room has something, some place, someone, some relationship, something in their life where they need God to move. And if you don't, come talk to me, because you'll be the first person and it'll be amazing. You'll probably get taken to heaven without even passing through death. But anyway, we all have needs. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken that within you. And then I want you to allow faith to rise up. And for you to make that commitment that I will re-engage with God in this, or I will continue to engage with God in this, and I will not give up, and I will press through. Allow faith to rise up. Maybe it's been 20 years and you've seen nothing happen. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen this afternoon. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.